Welcome to Straight Talk for Real Life, produced by Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. If you've recently had a baby, or even if you're planning on growing your family in the future, this episode is important for you. Everyone knows that having a baby is a wonderful, life-changing experience, but for many, it can bring uncontrollable feelings of sadness and anxiety and nagging guilt and self-criticism. Up to 4 in 5 new mothers will experience baby blues. But in this episode, we'll be talking about something even more serious. 1 in 5 new mothers suffer major depression called postpartum depression. It often includes severe sleeplessness and uncontrollable feelings of hopelessness, sadness, and fatigue. And it can even cause feelings of suicide or hurting the baby.
These symptoms of depression or sadness, that they don't go away after time. You're actually feeling sad. You're feeling weepy. A lot of women talk about how they lose interest in their baby. They're almost afraid to spend time with their baby. That's a big one. Sometimes women feel really guilty that they're not doing enough for their baby. Sometimes they feel like they're not being a good enough mom. Those internal thoughts, you know, the way that they think about themselves, the way they narrate themselves as a mom, those feelings of worthlessness or guilt are also some unfortunate signs that we encounter when a woman is facing postpartum depression.
If you think you may be experiencing postpartum depression, or if you know someone who is, listen in. This episode has the help you need. And yes, there is help. The purpose of this podcast is to foster discussion, not to provide advice. The information shared should never be used as an alternative to obtaining personalized advice from a healthcare professional, and listeners should seek such advice independently if they have any questions related to their physical or mental health. This podcast hosts different viewpoints, and the opinions of the speakers do not necessarily reflect the views of HPE. Hello and welcome to Straight Talk for Real Life. I'm Bob Peacock, and even though I have a little laryngitis for this episode, I assure you that I feel much better than I sound, and we've got a very important episode for you to listen to. Today we want to provide the information you need if you or someone you know is experiencing postpartum depression, or PPD. In some countries, they call it perinatal depression, or peripartum depression. But whatever you call it, it is a serious condition that affects between 8 and 20% of all new mothers. So, just stop and think about that for a second. Up to 1 in every 5 moms has experienced the serious symptoms of postpartum depression. That's more than the number of people who sprain an ankle every year, more than the number of women who will get diabetes this year, even more than the number of women who will have a stroke this year. Why is that important? Well, for a couple of reasons. First, it's important to know that PPD is a major health issue that affects a lot of women. It deserves a lot more attention than it gets. Number two, if you are experiencing postpartum depression, it's important to know what to do about it. And most of all, it's important to know without a doubt that you're not alone. There's help and there's hope. Since we don't often talk about postpartum depression, many new mothers who are experiencing the symptoms often have no idea why they're feeling the things that they're feeling, why they are feeling like failures. And it's just simply hard to research and get the answers you need when you're in the dark depths of any kind of depression. So we wanted you to have those answers now. We've invited Dr. Linda Kim, the founder and CEO of Moon Mental Health, to help us out. Dr. Kim attended medical school at Tufts University and completed her psychiatry residency at Harvard Medical School. In addition to maintaining a very busy practice, she was chief of psychiatry as well as an executive of a large health organization. As you'll hear today, Dr. Kim is particularly passionate about the unique mental health challenges of women, and she's dedicated to supporting women through all phases of their lives. Dr. Linda Kim, welcome to Straight Talk for Real Life.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I feel very honored and privileged to be here with you today.
I want this episode to be one of those that new parents or even expectant parents will listen to and even come back to when needed. Or perhaps listeners who know someone experiencing postpartum depression will forward a link to someone who might need the information. This is an issue that affects many more women than we may realize. What do you want women listening who may be experiencing postpartum depression to know?
Well, first of all, I'm so glad you raised the point that this is incredibly common. We talk about it like it's something rare or mysterious, when actually it's something that happens, unfortunately, to as many as 1 in 5 women. One thing I do want to point out, and I'll get to this a little bit later, is that we need to focus on the mom and how a woman can best meet her own needs, but her family's needs. But also, we can't forget about the partner as well. Just in some statistics, you know, even 1 in 10 of the dads or the partners can be affected by this as well. So we really like to think about it as really taking care of the whole family unit. But going back to your question, just in terms of what we think about or what I want someone to know, is that we really want to wrap the woman, the new mom, with all levels of support. And really from the time of preconception, we don't want someone to be thinking about this in, as you described, when they're in the depths of feeling so sad or when they're feeling very depressed. We really want to encourage a woman in terms of her preconception journey to start thinking early about it, to really have the good resources at hand, be educated about what it might look like, and then come up with a plan in advance. Because, you know, prevention is really just such an overlooked opportunity to make sure that you can, you know, really increase the success and overall journey for yourself. So we really want to start as early as possible.
I think it's also really important for listeners to understand that there's a difference between baby blues and postpartum depression. How does a new mom know that she's experiencing PPD versus ordinary depression and anxiety that might occur with baby blues? Can you talk about the difference?
Absolutely, Bob. So you are correct. When we think about the spectrum of mood issues around the perinatal period, we think about the milder aspect for baby blues, then going on to more of a moderate, you know, depression, more severe symptom, then finally to really severe states where we start thinking about safety risks and psychosis even. But another thing about talking about how common these issues can be, baby blues can actually affect 50 to 80% of women in the postpartum period. So rather than thinking about it as something, again, just, you know, unusual or pathological that's happening, we kind of think about it as a possible and perhaps even likely period of time where we really want to wrap that new mom with support because it is so common. But when we think about the difference between baby blues and postpartum depression, we actually think about the severity of the symptoms, the timing, and also the chronicity or how long it lasts. So for example, baby blues is really something that happens really immediately after. So about a few days after delivery and maybe up to a few weeks after birth. And the symptoms are milder. So a lot of new moms are tearful. Maybe they feel like their moods are all over the place. They're weepy. They start crying a little bit. Maybe even noticing that they're a little bit more reactive to situations. Their feelings might get a little bit hurt. They might be a little bit more irritable or exhausted, obviously, during the newborn phase. But what happens is that we see that that period of time is short. Those symptoms kind of, they come, but they can go quite quickly. And that's one of the major differences between baby blues and then postpartum depression. Whereas we see that with postpartum depression, it can occur a little bit later, more frequently a few months after delivery, but it really can start at any period of time. And also, it can also show up during pregnancy or even before as well. But it lasts longer. It's a little stickier. So women might notice that they feel a little bit sad or tearful or crying or even guilty for a few weeks at a time. It doesn't go away so quickly. And obviously the symptoms, the intensity, the sadness, the level of guilt, the level of, you know, perhaps even feeling of sadness or even detached from the baby is much more significant and severe and doesn't go away as quickly. And that's when we really want a woman to get support.
So if you are still noticing these big mood swings and depression symptoms after 2 weeks after they start, then that might be an indicator that something's going on.
Absolutely. And again, it's the kind of like what I tell new moms, it's the stickiness of it, where you kind of don't start to, you know, after a good night's rest, after you get some support, after you get a visitor, where you don't feel like you can get back to a level of, you know, of joy, of really being engaged with your family and baby. It's if it lasts more days often than not, you know, over a period of what we look at 2 weeks, then that's definitely a time where we get concerned about postpartum depression.
It's very, very common for a new mom to feel completely overwhelmed by the experiences of labor, delivery, the pain and recovery from it. The anxiety with starting breastfeeding. And on top of all that, you have this beautiful little baby who requires a whole lot of care. And then you mix in that added responsibility and often the lack of sleep and total exhaustion. So let's take a step back. Can you explain what happens to a woman's kind of hormonal balance after childbirth? That dramatic drop in hormones is the biggest drop a woman will face in her lifetime. Is that right?
Absolutely. There are huge hormonal shifts going on, and that's why we are actually very exquisitely sensitive to a woman's mental health needs during this time because of that. In addition to, as you just outlined, you know, so eloquently, lack of sleep, the newness, you know, bringing home a brand new baby, it might be your first time around. There's a lot of things going on, but we know that the hormonal shifts can have a very significant impact in a woman's mental health. You know, and I'll take this opportunity to just say that we have been talking a lot about postpartum depression. We've actually moved a little bit to talking about PMADs instead, which is actually postpartum mood and anxiety disorders during this period of time, because we know that depression and anxiety symptoms can be so interwoven and present often at the same time. So we really try to make sure that we are thinking about all of these aspects, so not just depression, but maybe even bipolar disorder, not just the mood issue, but anxiety component of things, of even OCD and so forth. So whenever we visit with someone or see a new mom, we try to make sure that we think very holistically and make sure that we're not missing anything. Because during this period of time, we know that moms can be very anxious. They can be really worried. They don't know if they're doing things right, or the baby's eating enough, or the baby's having enough wet diapers. And so in addition to just taking care of their own mood, we find that there is a lot of comorbidity in terms of anxiety and even OCD symptoms. And they're all very interwoven with these huge hormonal shifts during this period of time. And actually, there are new and exciting new interventions, psychopharmacologic interventions, really based on these hormonal changes. I'm not going to go into them now, but it's just recognizing that there is a huge component of the hormonal shifts that contribute to, you know, the overall mental health of the woman during this time.
Yeah, that's good. Many famous celebrities have experienced PPD, and they've tried to raise awareness by talking openly about their experiences. I've read articles that describe postpartum depression as completely uncontrollable feelings of depression and hopelessness. And it can be painful and scary, and it can impact every aspect of your life. Brooke Shields, a famous actress, described PPD as, quote, gripping her heart to such an extent that she didn't even have the desire to overcome it. She said that she was flattened by it, devastated by it, and she was mistakenly told that it was the baby blues at first. And when those feelings just continued on and on, she thought that she was a complete failure because she couldn't get over it. Another actress, Gwyneth Paltrow, said, I couldn't access my heart. I couldn't access my emotions. I couldn't connect. It was horrible. Dr. Kim, I imagine a lot of women don't seek help, and they just feel like, why am I having these horrible feelings when it's supposed to be the happiest time of my life? Can you describe some of the typical symptoms?
That's a great question, Bob. And I would love to describe a little bit about how depression might present for a woman during this time. I'm really glad that you outlined the way that Brooke Shields and Gwyneth Paltrow, some famous celebrities who have been really brave to share their stories, how it felt for them. Because I think a lot of women can be surprised in that they're actually suffering from depression at this time when, like you said so aptly, they assume that it's supposed to be the happiest time possible for them. They've been looking forward to the birth of the baby. They have all these assumptions and expectations of what it might be like for them. And so there can be this level of surprise or even waiting and thinking, I need to just white knuckle it, be strong, grit my teeth and bear this because there must be something wrong with me if I can't handle this. And yet actually what's happening is that they have untreated depression. And those symptoms are very, very similar in the way we think about depression as a whole. But we really focus on, like I had mentioned before, that these symptoms of depression or sadness, that they don't go away after time. You might have a bad day, but you know, like in baby blues, it might go away after a little bit. But if you're noticing that for most days and nearly every day for a period of time of 2 weeks or longer, you're actually feeling sad, you're feeling weepy. A lot of women talk about how they lose interest in their baby, or they can't even enjoy time spending time with their baby. They're almost afraid to spend time with their baby. That's a big one, you know, especially when a woman starts talking about how she's lost interest or doesn't even want to be around the baby as often. We take that very, very seriously. Also, we know how busy it is managing a new baby, but if you're not able to really take care of yourself, if you're not eating enough, if you're not hydrating enough, if you just have no appetite, those are things that we really look out for in a new mom, because we know that she needs to really take this time to take care of herself and nourish herself, especially if she is breastfeeding. Some of the things that we think about are impacts on their sleep. This is a tricky one, I will tell you, because most moms are probably not getting enough sleep to begin with. But if they find that they can't fall asleep, even if someone is there to help them, if they just, their mind is racing and they can't turn off the worries. So even if the baby's sleeping, they can't fall asleep. Or if, you know, the opposite, if they just can't get out of bed and their partner has to come in or family members have to come in because they just can't force themselves to get out of bed, that is a big tip off as well that we always look for. But another thing too, which I think is really important as a red flag, is the guilt. You know, sometimes women feel really guilty that they're not doing enough for their baby. Sometimes they feel like they're not being a good enough mom. Those internal thoughts, you know, the way that they think about themselves, the way they narrate themselves as a mom, those feelings of worthlessness or guilt are also some unfortunate signs that we encounter when a woman is facing postpartum depression. This period of time, women can have suicidal thoughts. And that is something that we take very, very seriously in terms of a symptom of depression, because these can become very intense for women. And we're always careful to make sure, does a woman feel safe for her own self and for her own quality of life, but also too, if there are any thoughts about harming the baby as well.
And how long do PPD symptoms typically last?
I mean, that's the thing. You know, sometimes, you know, our goal is for them to get treated and for them to resolve as fast as possible. And so when we do treat PPD, our goal is, you know, we want to get, we want to mitigate those symptoms. We want to offer the support, the resources, the therapy, the medications if needed, you know, all the lifestyle changes, because we want to make sure that we reduce those symptoms. I will say, unfortunately, if someone doesn't get help, then a woman could suffer from these symptoms for several months, or sometimes, you know, that they will resolve on their own, but unfortunately it can take much longer.
Does anyone know the cause of PPD? Why do some people get it, others don't?
That is a fantastic question. We do know that there is a combination of factors that go into play. So first of all, we always look at an individual's own psychiatric history. Do they have depression pre-existing, even before they get pregnant and the postpartum period? There is a likelihood that there is an increased risk for postpartum depression if a woman has pre-existing depression or other psychiatric illness beforehand. There's also a combination of factors in terms of, like I said, genetics, but also we look at childhood risk factors. You know, what is their background like? We know of this, a very common study of ACEs, which just looks at adverse childhood experiences, noting that, you know, sometimes some childhood factors of stressors, of parental depression, trauma, those type of things can increase the risk factor for depression and then subsequently postpartum depression. We know too that contextual or environmental factors, let's say there's a very prolonged delivery, there's a NICU stay for the baby, there's an extremely long and painful delivery or some other type of traumatic factor that can increase the risk for depression. Sometimes there can be acute medical issues, right? Maybe someone becomes, hypothyroid immediately after, or has, another medical condition. All these different things can contribute. Unfortunately, we don't know an exact, one-for-one cause, but these are the types of things that we think about when we think about what can contribute to someone having postpartum depression. And just to go back to that, I do think that there are a lot of assumptions that come to play in terms of what this period of time has to be. So, and I think the more that we can take away some of those assumptions, the more that we can, again, set a family unit up for success during this period of time. You know, even for example, a lot of times we assume that every pregnancy is a planned pregnancy. We know that up to 50% aren't, right? We have an assumption that, there's a need to have a natural, delivery, or, if a C-section happens and it messes up our plans, whatever it may be, or there's an assumption that, after I have my baby, I'm going to instantly bond and fall in love with my baby, and I'm going to be some kind of earth mama, and and the things are going to be beautiful, and there's this image that we have in our head. And I will tell you, working with hundreds, if not thousands, of women during this period of time, those are very, very significant assumptions that we hold on to so tightly. And boy, real life does not play out like that. There's birth plans that, just go out the window. There's, the first time that you try to have a bowel movement after, a delivery, there's, much more blood and much more bloating and pain on your nipples and cracked nipple. I mean, the things that I just want women to be able to talk about freely, because I think we need to lessen the load of what this, sterile, beautiful kind of image that we have in our head, and just be really real with each other, that it's going to be messy. It's going to be challenging. There's going to be cracked nipples. There's going to be, just your baby just screaming and having blowouts. And I think the more that we can, kind of lessen the assumptions, I think we're really setting each other up for success a lot more.
I want to spend just a few minutes talking about the various types of postpartum depression that can happen. We mentioned postpartum blues or baby blues affects approximately 50 to 75% of new mothers, according to Cleveland Clinic. Starts immediately after birth. Without treatment, baby blues usually last 1 or 2 mm-hmm. weeks, something like that. Let's talk about postpartum anxiety. I understand that 5 to 20% of new moms experience postpartum anxiety.
Postpartum anxiety is definitely a condition that we do not want to miss. And that's why we have shifted a little bit to talking about PMADs, just so that we don't separate as much, because they happen so commonly together. It's not just the depression, but it's also the anxiety at the same time. And I think we try to be very sensitive to the fact that anxiety can be pretty specific for a woman. And actually, there was this really fascinating article about postpartum OCD and how often we miss postpartum OCD just because we're not asking the right questions. So for example, people might be anxious about their finances. They might have worries about their health and those kind of things, but their anxiety might be very centered on the baby or their feeding schedule, or you know, am I vigilant enough to know that they're sleeping well, or they're going to wake up at, you know, night, how many times I'm not going to miss anything, or OCD, you know, generally a lot of times the layperson thinks about OCD like, oh, I need things really neat, or I need to wash my hands. Whereas for the mom, they're worried about the baby, something, you know, bad befalling the baby or dropping the baby, those kind of things. And if we don't ask the right questions, we can miss them a lot. And I think that's what is a concern, is that we want to make sure that we don't miss postpartum anxiety, because it is so frequent. Like you said, up to 20% of women can have pretty significant postpartum anxiety. And we talk about anxiety, you know, as generalized. There also can be postpartum panic disorder. I've also already mentioned OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, but also we kind of bucket into this anxiety spectrum, which is PTSD or trauma from the perinatal period or birth trauma. And I think that gets overlooked so often. You know, we kind of don't respect the fact that prolonged labor, you know, an emergency C-section, a NICU stay for a baby, it's very scary for a family. And we oftentimes miss the traumatic sequelae of this period of time as well.
And perhaps the most serious case is called postpartum psychosis. Is that right?
Absolutely. And that is what we consider a true medical psychiatric emergency. We never want to miss that, because we know that it is so risky. We want to make sure that we do everything possible to make sure that the woman, the mom, and the child are safe, because we know that there could be markedly increased risk for not only self-harm, but harm to the baby as well.
Yeah, according to a Canadian study, the most at-risk time for suicide among postpartum women was 9 to 12 months after giving birth. Over 60% of women who took their own life during the postpartum period had not seen a mental health provider within the month leading up to their death, which kind of underscores that that need to do something about it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that statistic could be a reflection of either the woman has maybe withdrawn so much and is not reaching out for help due to the severity of her symptoms and the depression and the suicidal ideation, even though she has treatment in place, or she has tried to get treatment and maybe it wasn't accessible, or maybe all these different things that come into play, you know, just in terms of time, availability, resources, and all those things to make sure that she's getting good continued treatment, you know, for the severity of her symptoms. I also wonder too, and one thing that we haven't talked about is the fact that there can be a recurrence of mood and anxiety symptoms, for example, during a period of weaning as well. And so, you know, we automatically assume that, okay, you know, there's a period of time once the baby gets, you know, older, maybe a year or so is when we think about the end of the postpartum period. But actually, if a woman is nursing or breastfeeding even further than that, with I know, especially working clinically with a lot of women, but also the research shows us that because the hormonal shifts and changes that occur with weaning, we know that the hormonal changes could also cause a very vulnerable time for recurrence of depression or anxiety symptoms at the same time. But to speak to the point of the risk of suicidal ideation and completed suicides, that is something that we always want to make sure that we are vigilant for and monitoring for, and really asking a woman about, so that we can make sure that we set her up with appropriate resources.
So obviously, if you ever have suicidal thoughts or you're thinking about hurting the baby, don't hesitate even for a moment. Call your doctor. Call local support resources or emergency lines and get the help you need to get you through these moments. If you're in the U.S., one source of information to check out is a website that I found called postpartumdepression.org. Whatever country you're in, find out what resources are available to you before you even need them. The good news is that postpartum depression is treatable, right?
It is absolutely treatable. And again, I'm so glad that we're talking about and increasing awareness about the possibility of postpartum depression, anxiety, and so forth. But as someone who works with women who are faced with the challenge of postpartum depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, psychosis, you can name it, I am without a shadow of a doubt can tell you and feel confident in telling you that Women Get Better is absolutely treatable. It is something where we can bring back the joy and the attachment and you know, all of the happiness that should be there during this period of time. And so that's why I just want to really encourage you to make sure that it's something that you talk about with your family, with your friends, your support system, and then reach out. I mean, the first person who you can think about, you know, it doesn't have to be a psychiatrist like myself. It can be a friend. It could be a community group. It could be a chaplain, a spiritual advisor. It can be your maybe you have another child, a pediatrician, your OB, your primary care doctor, whoever it may be. I just think that there are so many resources and women wait too long or they don't share even with their own family members the way that they're feeling. So I just want to say again, one more time, it's absolutely treatable. And I would say just do not hesitate. Don't think you have to wait alone any longer if you are suffering.
I suppose that it's possible that a woman might be scared that if she told her doctor, he or she might prescribe antidepressants. And if the woman is pregnant or breastfeeding, the prescription might harm the baby. What are your thoughts?
So that is a nuanced question, Bob, I will say. So the first thing is we always individualize the care plan. As you mentioned before, you know, we will decipher, first of all, is this depression? You know, is this bipolar disorder? Is this more of an anxiety component? We'll kind of figure that out first. And we also figure out, okay, is it mild? Can this be treated with supports and maybe therapy? We also know that lifestyle changes, diet, exercise, you know, yoga, meditation, all these different things that can be helpful. We'll try to utilize those tools first. We definitely know, though, that once a woman gets to more moderate to severe level of depressions, we are going to use everything we can to help her feel her best.
Yes, right.
So, for example, when I'm thinking about medication use in pregnancy, I absolutely will use it because I know that it will help the woman feel the best that she can. And maybe the other options available to her just have not panned out. Therapy hasn't been helpful enough. You know, all the exercise in the world, you know, or the CBT that she's doing, the resources and supports she has in place, it's just not enough to fully treat her symptoms. Then absolutely the medications can be life-saving. And it can also be helpful to set her up for success so that she feels the best that she can in the postpartum period, which we know is a very vulnerable time, and can also have significant impacts and positive benefits, not only to her, but to the child, to their development, and to their own ongoing neurocognitive factors as well. So we know that treating the mom appropriately from pregnancy is worth it, not only for the mom at that moment, but for the postpartum period, but also for the child and the baby themselves too. So there are times when I will have a very just, you know, face-to-face conversation with the mom about how I think about medications pregnancy, because I know that although there can be some things that we think about, the risk factors of medications in pregnancy, I also want my patient and this mom to know that there are risk factors of untreated depression and anxiety at the same time. And I think that's what we forget about the most, is that if a mom has untreated depression or anxiety, maybe she was on medications, but she chose to stop, or maybe she was never treated and she was just hoping to kind of white knuckle it through. We know that untreated depression, anxiety, they have risk factors, right? So there's increased cortisol that's getting produced that we know can impact the fetus. We know that they might not be feeling good enough to exercise or take care of themselves or even take prenatal vitamins. We know that if there's untreated depression or anxiety, they might drink more. They might use other substances more. So there are a whole host of risk factors and risks if there's untreated depression and anxiety. And those are the things that I carefully talk about and evaluate with each individual woman that I see.
That's great. How can a couple who is planning to have a child prepare themselves? You're preparing for the happiest, what you would think would be the happiest moment of your life, having this new baby, building your family. Or what would you say to a couple who is planning to have a child, how to prepare for the possibility of PPD before they even need it?
I love this question, Bob, because the more that I think a couple can, you know, communicate and plan for things in advance, the better they set up they are. So even when I talk with patients, and I try to get them in for preconception planning, right? How do I set you up for success before you're even trying to conceive? And I think there's a very comprehensive way to do this. First of all, you know, the fact that a couple is thinking about this in advance, you're already one step ahead. You're already like way ahead of the game. So kudos to you. I do like to have a little bit of a structure around this. And I think there are examples of a postpartum care plan that are widely available online. I know, for example, Postpartum Support International, they have some examples. But it's a very general thing where it doesn't have to be very formalized. It can be just, you know, grab a piece of paper and think about the postpartum care plan. And I put it into several buckets that I can tell you about. The first one is, for example, sleep. We know that sleep is hugely important for a woman's mental health, you know, is immediately during the postpartum period and beyond. So think about sleep, like where will the baby sleep? How will we share duties in terms of overnight care? Who's going to get up the first time? Maybe you have blocks of time. You know, I'll take 8 p.m. to midnight. You take, you know, the early morning hours from 3 to 7. Break it up, but have that plan and talk about it in advance. You know, what about the feeding? Is a mom thinking about breastfeeding, about pumping? Okay, well, who's going to wash the bottles, right? Who's going to take that or maybe switch it off, or I do that, you know, but just talking about in advance, even things like meal plans, right? Or even visitors, come up with a plan in advance. You know, people have a lot of mixed feelings about visitors, right? You might want to talk about your partner and say, you know what, I feel very vulnerable when, you know, I'm sleep deprived and, you know, I'm already nervous, and, you know, for an auntie to come and kind of give me grief about the way that I'm holding my baby, I don't know if I can handle it at that time. So just talking about it, having the care plan, saying, you know what, we can have visitors only, you know, a month after, and a family member wants to come, then they stay for 30 minutes, you know, or I would love to have a family member stay and help us overnight for, you know, a couple of nights or on the weekend. But just really taking the opportunity to talk about it, what most would be helpful. I think there's so much opportunity here that I think gets missed if you don't talk about these kind of things in advance. And all of these factors we know are instrumental in helping a woman stay as, and her partner feel, stay as mentally well as possible. So the basics, the sleep, nutrition, you know, relationships, your support team, you know, duties, you know, the kind of who will take care of laundry or burping the baby, you know, who's going to take care of grocery shop, like those kind of things. I think you can take care of each other. And the best way to do that is to communicate about it and maybe as much as possible, try to come up with a plan. We all know best laid plans, right? You know, you're going to need to be flexible. Things are going to need to be, you know, switched around and moved around depending on what happens. But I just think that this is a really, really nice opportunity to try to support each other as much as possible in advance of the baby coming.
Absolutely. And you have a free e-guide on your website, at least right now. And your website is moonmentalhealth.com. And that e-guide is titled, How to Manage Stress Through Pregnancy and Beyond. I think that's a great idea for new moms, new dads, just on how to manage stress and anxiety throughout that pregnancy journey. As you mentioned, there's so many of other free postpartum mental wellness toolkits online that can kind of help you think through the planning process. Two toolkits that I just found that I thought might be helpful to listeners. One is at happiestbaby.com, and the other is wethrivepostpartum.com. And those are not HPE websites. So if you go there and they're no longer there, simply do a search for postpartum depression resources. One of the things like happiestbaby.com suggests that mothers identify that group of friends and tell them up front, I'm making a list of people whom I can contact for support who can help me if I need it. Can I put you on this special list? And then step two is sending out that list of PPD warning signs and telling your friends, I'd love for you to help me. If you see me suffering from any of these signs, please help. And step three, giving loved ones the permission to help. Tell them, if you think that I'm struggling and I'm not acting right, I give you permission to help me make an appointment with my doctor and to get me there. I know it all sounds so much easier than most of us think. One in three new moms feel guilty about asking for help. But if you're going through these feelings, it's important to know that you don't have to go through it alone. Why is it important to get help? You talked about it just a little bit. Talk about the long-term implications if you don't reach out and get the help you need.
First of all, it's mental health is a core component of overall wellness. And I think just in terms of the maximization of your one precious life,
yes,
we want to make sure that, you know, regardless of if it's during, you know, this period of time, it's, we think about you and we think about your beautiful life and how, you know, we want to make sure that you feel the best that you can over the course of your life. And getting treatment early can help set you up to, you know, achieve the benefits of that and actually extend your life, right, in terms of all the physical health benefits. We mentioned before too, this notion that there is this intergenerational component that either through genetics or how you attach or bond or demonstrate, you know, your own willingness to care for yourself, it absolutely has an impact and can influence the generations beyond us. And we know that the way that we can take care of ourselves and feel good and treat the depression and anxiety sets us up to be better parents. It also sets us up to think about modeling how we take care of ourselves for the future generations and for our children to see, if I'm feeling down, then I can go out and get the help and do these type of things for myself. So whatever you do for yourself, it really does have intergenerational impacts in a positive way.
That's great. Last question for you. If you suspect that a friend or a loved one or even a colleague at work has PPD, is going through these symptoms, what can and should you do to help?
I love this question, Bob, because I think that as a society, we oftentimes are a little bit too respectful in terms of not wanting to pry. And in this world of postpartum depression, in depression, we can feel so isolated and alone that it is a wonderful opportunity if you are a friend or a colleague or you have a loved one to just sit down and ask, how are you feeling? How are things at home? Are you doing okay? I'm here for you. Sometimes it's the only thing that you need to do is, I'm here for you whenever you need, you know, an ear to listen. Do you want to grab a cup of coffee? Sometimes it's really just as simple as that, just in terms of opening that door to allowing someone to say, I'm not so alone. Actually, I don't have to suffer alone. And I can then, you know, that first opening of that window can allow for, okay, someone cares about me. I can do this. And then it's amazing to see how it's just one little push can bring on a cascade of someone then getting the help that they need, either through then the family member will help them make an appointment, then they'll have an appointment with either the pediatrician or their OB, and then that leads to just a cascade of support and help. But I love this question because actually sometimes it can be super simple And you don't need to say anything eloquent. You don't need to say anything really savvy or, you know, that sounds, you know, educated at all or based on, you know, whatever scientific, you know, research there's done. It really just is, how are you doing? I'm here for you. And that's perhaps the best way to start.
Dr. Linda Kim, thank you so much for caring so much about women's mental health issues and for all this great information. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. This is obviously an area that I am so passionate about and devoted to women in terms of really seeking out care for themselves and their families. So I feel so honored to be here with you today. Thanks again.
If you know someone who may have postpartum depression or might have an interest in today's episode, we hope you'll share a link with that person. It's so important to take care of your mental health. It's important to you, your spouse or partner, and for your baby. I hope the information and resources in today's episodes are helpful. In addition, if you're an HPE team member, remember that the HPE Global Wellness Program offers lots of great wellness information and programs for team members and their families. If you're in the U.S., you'll find those on myhperewards.com. And if you're outside the U.S., you'll find them on the Global Wellness page. Thanks to my guest, Dr. Linda Kim. And as always, we appreciate you taking the time to listen. Until next time, take good care. Let's talk again soon.